Hello, and welcome to the Alloy Personal Training Business Podcast, a show for people who want to take their personal training businesses and fitness coaching skills to the next level. Team Alloy has been in the personal training business since 1992 and share their insights from working with businesses and brands around the world. Listen in for secrets and tips on running a successful fitness business, from personal training, marketing, staff management, scaling your business, and everything in between. If you are interested in having your own personal training business, our systems are well developed, and we are focusing on very discrete segments which we think are the secrets to success. Now, let's get started with our host.
Hello, Matt.
Hey, Rick. What's happening, man?
You, brother. You. What's cracking, man?
No, I'm just ready to go.
You ready to talk about the COVID? You want to do that again?
Oh, yeah, the COVID.
God, man. Did you know, well, you know they're closing gyms, right? So they've closed Arizona.
Yeah, I saw they're in some parts of Florida as well.
Miami, South Dade, Miami. Mm-hmm. So they reclosed. Actually, it's funny because a lot of our friends and, you know, folks that we know in the industry are actually on the news. So one is the CEO of Mountainside Fitness out in, he and I spoke on an event together a year or 2 years ago, something like that. Great dude. 18 clubs in Phoenix area.
Yep.
All around Arizona. And he's actually suing to petition to stay open, right, until they can get to this final court date to decide whether it's constitutional, essentially, or not, to be able to just close the business. And the argument is, and same thing for my buddy Matt Pack, who owns a place down in Miami. He was on the news talking about just wrecking my business. Now, we'll pivot. We'll do what we have to do, but give me a break, you know?
Mm-hmm.
I think the give me a break thing stems from the fact that there's no relevant data to point towards gyms. You know, it's funny because I try to see it from both sides of it. When I look at it from the gym side, the entrepreneur side, I get it. And I'm defensive as well because I'm in the fitness industry and I don't understand. I haven't seen any data that would support that gyms are spreading COVID any greater than any other type of gym.
Yeah.
Especially our model, right? Where you're getting 12 people in here at a time. It's like, come on, bro. We're all spread out. There's no possible way. Cleanest place they're ever going to go if they leave the house.
It's just like it's expendable. It's an easy thing to close.
It's an easy target, to put in the crosshairs because people think of like tons of people breathing all over each other and you have to do something because your cases are spiking and no one's talking about the fact that there were protests, which I'm down for protests, but the fact is if you cram a bunch of people together for good reasons or not,
sure,
the virus is going to spread. So as a reaction to that, to just point at a specific business and say them, but not all these other businesses.
You can't even say a specific business. I mean, gym is... there's a lot of different types of gyms.
Well, yeah. Okay. So let's just say gyms in general. It's like, well, what about every other place that we go, right? You know? And then what about different types of gyms, right? You can't even say all gyms because they're drastically different. So I don't know. I do understand both sides of it though, because I think from someone who's maybe not affected by this and they are maybe on the side of being more nervous, you know, they might just see any movement to shut anything down as a positive. And any resistance to that is self-serving, and it's all about this entrepreneur making money. But I can tell you, I know the guy from Mountainside. He's a great dude, and he's not. It's not a money grab. I mean, he made in an address that he did to the press. You know, he laid out all the things they've done while they've been closed, and he's again Arizona. But they donated all their parking lot space for testing and all. I mean, they did all of these things to help the community.
All right,
like. Retrained all their staff, you know, like 1500 employees.
Wow.
Yeah. All these different things, did all these protocols, remove cardio equipment, put in cleaning protocols, all these things to open, reopened only to have, and he felt like he was this big part of the solution,
right?
Only to have the government be like, yeah, no, gyms. Like, and so he's just unfairly targeted. So I see that too. And so I don't think that if you're on the side of being more nervous and you think the gyms are being self-serving and staying open, I would say that's not true.
I mean, you're going to get it from everywhere.
Yeah, that's true. There is no right answer right now.
What about all the people at Home Depot?
Well, I know. But I mean, it's an endless, like, is this like a rabbit hole that we could never finish, right? It's like, there's no bottom to this thing of how many businesses in different ways and like, you know, conflicting data. I mean, dude, it's all over the place. So at the end of the day, I think what I want to talk about with you today, Matt, is that's the environment that we have. We have seen a spike in cases, which is not surprising. I think if you just look at going from, you know, lockdown to not lockdown, regardless, you're going to see it. But all that being said, those are things out of our control. And, you know, we're big on like control the things you can, mm-hmm. try to let go of the things that you can't control. And so I can't control a virus or a spike in virus. So what we need to control is, what is this thing going to look like? Like, what kind of business model do we need moving forward?
Mm-hmm.
You know, or, you know, just in a new world where there is fear and anxiety, or to say it's in a 20% of the population, right? That's a good chunk. I mean, we only get 20% into health and fitness facilities for the most part.
Yeah.
So what is the answer, right? Is it virtual? Is it online only? I mean, those are things we're just going to kick around today. Like, where do we think it's headed based on what we've seen?
What do you think?
Well, I think it's, I think it's going to be a combo for a minute. Well, let's back up a minute. I don't think that live in-person training is going away. I don't
think so either.
Like 100%. I don't think it's possible. And I think people crave, like, we are human beings, and you need more social interaction than just digital. You know, it's so new, right? Like Facebook and Google and the data analytics and behavioral science and all the things that go into making that addictive, in a lot of ways, literally addictive. It's so new to us and our brain. It's just not natural. We haven't evolved into that, right? So we crave human contact, like person to person.
Well, maybe just look at, from everybody being in lockdown to being let loose, to just look at all the beaches and everything else. People want to be with each other,
right,
and see other people. There's no way everybody's just going to stay home forever.
No, you can't. Well, you just can't. And it's just not part of human nature. We are social animals, you know?
Yep.
And an online social forum can give you a little bit of that, but it's not quite enough. You know, it doesn't go far enough. And in some ways, it actually works to be a little bit unhealthy, I do believe. So I think in-person training will come back. When it will come back, I'm not really sure. Like, we're still up and running. We're at about 80% capacity, which we've kind of stuck there. We've seen, again, as this thing started to respike, we've had people continue to freeze, you know, members like freeze, like, still, hey, give me another month. We still have virtual going, a small percentage, but we still have virtual going. So I think right now you're going to have to do a bit of both, you know, so you need to be equipped as a business to have the technology solutions and staffing and structure to run both live training in your club, because there, if you're open, there are people that want it, and virtual, you know. And I think if you're going to do virtual, so let's talk about that. So live training, we beat this dead horse already, which is social distancing, use your own equipment, stay away from each other, do all the things that you need to do to build consumer confidence.
Yep, all the cleaning stuff, everything.
Exactly.
Like that.
And all the cleaning protocols.
Cheers,
you okay? You okay over there? So that you can feel confident in being open, right? And that you're not actually being part of the problem, you're part of the solution. So then if you look at virtual, I was on an online forum the other day and I saw someone said, hey, like, we're just not down to do virtual anymore. It's too exhausting for my instructors. Hour after hour after hour of repeating the same workout at home on a Zoom call.
And I thought, well, does it even make any sense?
You're just running, again, you're running a class-based format, and now you're trying to run online classes. And here's what I'll say about that particular play. If you're going to do online classes, you're only doing it viably as a strategy to maintain your current client base, right? Yep. Because there's the trust of the relationship that you had through the brick and mortar and that relationship, and they're okay taking a class-based format.
Yeah, they already know you.
If it was based on classes only as an option, there are a million and one digital options already out there, from Peloton to Nordic Track to the Mirror to Tonal.
Social media, Instagram. My wife follows YouTube videos on a regular basis.
Exactly. And if you're motivated enough to do that, go get your class. Go get it that way. Now, so what I think is a differentiator, just like it is for us in the brick and mortar, in virtual, is to do your training in a one-on-one training. You know, so you're servicing it virtually, but you're doing one-on-one training. Well, what does that mean digitally? Well, first of all, you have to have the digital assets to do it. So, you know, we have the Alloy app, which is perfect for this, because you can pull food into it. You can pull wearables into it. I mean, meaning it integrates with all those.
Yep.
You can hold people accountable to several different types of metrics, whether it be nutrition, activity, steps, strength training workouts, you know, increasing weight.
Well, there's a million different ways you can go. But when we talk about getting new members, it gives you the ability to actually have a kind of evaluation process, sit down with them. You're able to create goals, habits, and everything that they can see, which is, like you said, you're not going to get people that aren't working out in gyms just through Zoom workouts. Like, they're not going to just come join your gym for a video.
Right.
So you need to have something sticky.
Exactly. And to the point of that business owner that said, hey, we're not down to do virtual. My instructors are exhausted. It's like, well, that's not the way to do it. It's basically what I'm saying. I don't think that's a viable solution for clubs long term. If you want to take your brand outside your four walls, doing free classes is fine for brand building, but it's not sticky. You're not going to have anybody stick around. So if you want to have a viable virtual training business, you need to service it in a more personal way. So I would say think about one-on-one training being serviced virtually.
Yep.
And you first have to do that again. You have to have the right vehicle. So I like the app. It's amazing. It works really well. I got a buddy who does a lot of online business and helps other trainers and fitness centers understand. He uses our app as well. And that's all he uses. And he said it's like a perfect tool. It's a perfect tool for these times.
I mean, there's people before this pandemic happened that were training thousands of clients by themselves. I mean, it's pretty crazy. I mean, it's like I said, you have the vehicle. It's you can fully automate things. It's wild.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a great. And so thankfully we had it as sort of an add-on. If someone was, you know, again, taking a summer to go down to the beach or, you know, wintering, you know, snowbirding down at the beach or whatever, if you were a facility that had a client in there as a brick and mortar, that you could use this as an extension of your brand to keep people paying, right? And to keep them engaged with you over time. So that's how we were using it. But boy, it ended up being the perfect tool for what's going on right now.
Yeah. So having the perfect tool to be able to train your clients, it's customization. You're giving them what they need based on their health history and stuff is huge. What we also did find that works really well is, you know, like we talked about, you got to have some sort of community and we're a small group gym, right? We would actually have Zoom meetings just to hang out so that people could talk and see each other, not Zoom workouts, but like just literal social gatherings that we would do in addition to that. And we weren't doing them like every day, but it's an easy way to sit down, have six people to see each other all the time. It's awesome.
Yeah. I mean, you were seeing all kinds of crazy things like Zoom happy hours and things, but if you think about being someone's third place, it may not be a happy hour, but to get together with a group of people and see how they're doing, or to, if you're building an online only community, having forums, right, where you can communicate, like so that you're bringing them into the fold of this family. So you're giving them what they need as a coach and you're doing Zoom calls and whatnot so they can see your face and you're coaching them personally on their goals. And that's been happening for a long time. It's just more prevalent and relevant now. But also building some type of community. So you might have a private Facebook page, you might have a private forum on your website, something like that, subscription based, and you're getting together with groups of people. You know, we do what's called accountability sessions. So one of the things that makes our brand unique is we pull people out of the fray once a month and sit down with them and say, hey, how's it going? And we try to move them along, right? And so you can do that. If you're training virtually, you can do it one-on-one, but it's also cool to get people together, you know, like, hey, I'm doing a nutrition seminar tomorrow night. You know, I'm going to do a live Zoom and everybody can pitch in and ask questions. That way everyone can see the community that they're in. They can see other people's faces. They can actually contribute to the answers. You know, they can be part of the solution for someone else if they've been successful. They can share strategies, things like that. And you're right. That'll be a big part of the overall community is just getting them together.
Well, it's just like in terms of brick and mortar, it's harder to leave when you know people. If you don't have any stickiness with knowing, you know, friends and whatnot, they can, it's easy just to like, all right, I'm done. Quit.
Right.
So if you're going virtual, you're going to still need to do those things to keep people around.
Did you see, speaking of vehicles, did you see where Harvard announced that they're doing all their classes online next year? So interestingly, you and I have talked about this, but Clay Christensen, who's since passed, was their, you know, head of their business school for years. He predicted, I think it was in 2013, he said within like 10, 15 years that the traditional university model would be gone. And a lot of people were picking on, you remember when online universities first came out? It's like, oh my God, oh, go from University of Phoenix or Southern New Hampshire. What is that, right? Well, then all of a sudden it was like, oh, wait a minute, right? As that became more of a relevant thing, people were either building them or trying to buy those, right? Or buying up, because that's a viable solution now. And so
universities outprice themselves.
Yeah, well, exactly. The pricing model doesn't work. And there's a book that I bought before my kids went to college that an economist wrote on this formula around where, like, the cost of your undergraduate degree, where you go and what that, how it looks in the long run. And it's funny because in that formula, the ones that fared the worst were the more expensive schools. So in other words, if you went to Harvard for undergrad, it didn't necessarily put a lot more money in your pocket than going to your state school for your undergrad, right? And then after that, what really moved the needle, certainly in fields like teaching, nursing, you know, things like that, was an advanced degree, getting into your master's degree, things like that. But beyond that, getting your undergrad, it was like, get that as cheap as you can. So that was already part of the vernacular, right? So Harvard comes out and announces this. Well, the funny thing was, right when they announced, when Christensen said that they're going to be, that most universities will be moving to something online in the future, that this model doesn't work anymore. It's too expensive and the economics don't work. Well, then Harvard released this online platform and they started offering courses. So, you know, I took one of the courses Clay Christensen taught himself and I loved it. One of the things I loved about it wasn't just necessarily the curriculum, but it was the experience around it. So they gave you, each week you had a lesson and you couldn't work ahead and you had to work the lesson. And they had, the platform is built to have interactions that would mimic a classroom. Like, let's say you got to the end of a concept, you watched a video and read about it. Then you had to answer some true or false questions, right? So this is all to make it stickier, right?
Yep.
Well, then they might have a section before you could advance to the next lesson, you had to comment on two other people's answers, right? So it sort of forced this interaction between people where someone would say, like, I think this is interesting because if you look at the tech industry right now, da 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 da, right? Then you would say, oh, great answer. I could see what you're saying. It also applies here. Pretty cool, right? And they'd be like, oh, yeah, I didn't think about that. So they forced this interaction. They even had modules on there where once you hit go to reveal the question, you had a certain amount of time to answer it. And that mimicked raising your hand in class, saying that you had the answer, and then be like, all right, Matt in the back, what do you think? Well, you have a time limit. You can't just sit there for 3 hours. Right? You could, but it would look weird. Yeah, next question. So they had this platform built. And then I thought to myself, you know what? With Clay saying a few years ago that these models are going away, or the traditional university model is busted, and all of a sudden they release this super robust, cool platform. And by the way, after each weekly lesson, there was some questions about that you could answer voluntarily, like a survey.
Yep.
And none of the questions had to do with the curriculum. They all had to do with the user experience of the platform. So I was like, they're trying to gather as much data as possible about what people like and don't like. Then I was at a dinner party with Suzanne, my partner, for those of you guys that don't know. And her son-in-law was there, and he's a whiz kid. And his background, I believe his specialty is 3D graphics or something, right? Something very technical. And just in a side conversation over a beer, he told me that a headhunter had reached out to him and he had an opportunity with Harvard Business or Harvard School of Medicine, and that they were starting this online education. This is about a year after I took my course, to other medical students around the world. And they needed someone to help with 3D imaging for brain scans, things like that, to really help, you know, display them. And yeah. So I'm like, huh, here we go. Right. Mm-hmm. And then I'm again, like, you know, Clay's passed away, I think earlier this year, but there's no way you could predict this happened, but how smart do they look right now? You know, now they have this online platform built, and I can tell you from experiencing it personally, it's pretty dope.
Well, we talked about in another podcast is how this is pandemic is really forcing things to come quicker. Right. So
yes,
they may not have been ready. It probably would maybe several years down the road, but now it's like, oh, we ready now. They already hit of the game. Just like the virtual training that may not been the biggest thing or one of the things you do, but now it is. So you better, get on board.
It accelerated everything. Don't you think? Like if you look at 24 hour, you know, filing bankruptcy, look at LA Fitness. I mean, you hate to say it, but the inside talk in the industry, those were busted models already.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not like they weren't headed there. They just got there much, much quicker,
right?
You know, with COVID forcing it. But I'd say that with everything. I think you're going to see people run out of runway in Q3, Q4. You've seen people close already. And a lot of them were probably just hanging on or were headed that way long-term anyway, with just even in a good economy with that increased pressure and competition and all the things that were happening.
Mm-hmm.
This just literally put the pedal to the metal and just poured gas on the fire and blew it up so much quicker. So point is, you guys, I think it is going to be relevant in the future. I don't think we know exactly what it's going to look like. More evidence you saw where Lululemon bought the mirror, way overvalued.
Was it, how much did they pay for that?
$500 million.
Yeah. Yo, good
I
for
know,
them.
I know. It is funny, man. It's crazy how, like, even Peloton, which is a relevant company, but, you know, way overvalued as well. And so it's like, it's just the way tech works. You know, it's a mystery. It's a game behind the game going on back there all the time. But good on them. And again, it's just points towards everybody wants to be in this virtual game, whatever that is. Our stance on that virtual game is running classes, no bueno. It's got to be personal, because if there's no personal hook at all, and quite honestly, mirror and all that's fine. But if there's not a person behind it holding you accountable that you've met online or at least seen their face or had a conversation right. with, it's not going to be sticky. You can just hop from one option to the next.
Yeah. Well, it's personal. It's built for them. And like we said, there still needs to be community aspects. And that's when we're using social media like it really is meant to be. Not to talk crap about other people, but just be in, talk to other people, you know, learn things. Like you said, have Q&As, do some Zoom kind of hangout sessions or whatever. But the personal training side needs to be built for that person. And then it's going to last.
Yeah. So you have to have a tool for it. Alloy up.
Alloy up. That's right. Well, that's why our franchise is built for, we can handle it all, man.
Well, speaking of franchise, one thing that we're forced to do, which is really cool moving forward, it's really going to help us, is in your franchise disclosure documents, so the acronym's FDD, there's something called the Item 19. And that's where you disclose any financial information that you want to take to the general public.
Yeah.
And you can pick and choose what that is, right? So right now we've got like industry leading return per member. So, mm-hmm. you know, what everybody spends every month, and the industry leading retention, which we can prove based on statistics. Well, one thing that now is going to be in everyone's FDD, which is really interesting, is how did COVID-19 affect the finances of your business? So imagine, you know, 6-8 months from now, we have a potential franchisee who's shopping. They like the idea of being in gyms or being in fitness. And they're comparing us to, say, a large box model or us to a boot camp model. Mm-hmm. And when you compare the revenue discrepancies during COVID, like how were they affected? You know, how negatively were they affected during COVID? We were so excited to hear that we were going to have to put that in, because for us, being able to pivot to, you know, the app and online is looks very favorable. So on paper, we have all these digital assets that are going to allow people to pivot if needed, mm-hmm. or to run a hybrid model, whatever that may be.
Yep.
They can actually do both in their community. Mm-hmm. And again, just by pure like having a tool there used for maybe an extra, you know, add-on, you know, value add service, turns out to be the perfect tool for this wacky time period that we're in. But yeah, to being able to force to disclose that in our financials is going to be look very favorable for us because we had this tool.
Yep.
So it worked out great. And we did that. We've talked about this before, you guys, but we went from group training, right? And we're training groups of six, and we pull people out once a month, and we make it's truly personal training, and we can make that claim. So if it's personal training, how are we going to service it digitally? We just put people into buckets, put a coach in charge of that bucket, built a playbook around it that we can now use for the franchise on how many touch points they need every week, how many workouts, what are the things, and learned a little bit in the process and tweaked it. Mm-hmm. And it's perfect. So we do have the perfect solution coming out of this. So I think right now, if you don't have some digital assets in place that go beyond just live classes, you're going to have a hard time marketing it externally. You could do fine taking care of the flock that you currently have. But as you know, and we've all seen, there's been some churn in that, right? Just people are nervous. They're dropping out. And even us, even though we're doing a great job, we're still down around 20% and scratching our way back pretty relevantly day over day. We've got tons of new members coming in. It's just that there was just a chunk that just blump dropped off just out of fear. Or they're taking care of someone who's at high risk or something like that, or they're at high risk. And again, what do you do about that? Nothing. But you better keep marketing and you better have another tool for them. Some of those guys did virtual.
Yep.
Some, if we're honest, exercise is pretty tough and it's just a reason to quit.
Well, it's not going to be for everybody.
Exactly.
As much as you want it to be, they ain't going to do it.
Yep. And I had people that did it, that came back. I mean, this is just, again, this is how split we are, right? This is why you need a hybrid model right now, because we've got people that will say, listen, I mean, I appreciate the online workouts. I did it some, but I do not want to do that. Like for me, it's just way better to just put my keys down. Like the crux move is getting out of the house, not the workout itself. Yeah. Other people are like, oh, this is amazing. I think I'll just stick with this for a while. This is way better. I don't even have to leave the house. So it's just, again, completely different people, personalities, motivation levels, whatever that may be. And right now, I think you need to be able to do both. And if you don't have a virtual option, you're sort of dead in the water. If you know, if you're sitting in Arizona and you're forced to close again and you don't win your court case and you don't have any digital assets, what do you do? I mean, you can't even bill people. You're offering zero service to them right now. And so they're only going to pay you for a little bit of time out of the good of their hearts and pocketbooks.
Exactly. So
I see it like right now, I don't think it's going to go full digital, full virtual. I just don't. I don't think we're there yet. I don't think the technology's really there to there may be some AI and things in the future that make a human connection digitally, but right now it's lacking. And you see that in the suffering mental health of people that spend a lot of time on social media. it's completely different. If you force any of the people that are on these opposite ends of whether this COVID thing is more severe or not, looking at the same set of data, right? Racial tensions, all these things. And you put people at this table that we're sitting at and made them have a face-to-face conversation about these issues, it would be a completely different interaction.
Right.
Than if they were stuck at home, angry because they're only consuming a certain amount that just feeds their knowledge of confirmation bias, right? And then they go online and signal everyone. Like, that's not, we're not there yet to go full digital. Yep. We're just not.
Absolutely not.
But I think you have to have it. And I think that brick and mortar is going to come back. I do. I think that it's needed right now. There's a part of that community. So I think you need to have a little bit of both, but I don't think people are going 100% virtual. I just don't.
No, man. Is it, I don't, like, Harvard is not going to honestly be online learning forever, but one that's going to come out of this is they're going to have a bigger chunk of online than they did before, and they're going to still get people into the school. So they're going to win either way.
Right.
That's the same thing you need as your gym at this point. Come out on the other side and be able to go wherever you need to, because there's going to be maybe a different revenue source from online. So you fill up your gym and all of a sudden you got an online business. Look at that.
We should talk about that Ascension model.
Yeah.
You know, how that works marketing wise in the gym. We'll maybe do that next time.
Cool.
Sounds good. But that's where I think it's going, you guys. That's what we see. We've been open the longest since the shutdowns. We were the last shutdown, first to open. So we've probably been the least impacted. We've been very fortunate. We're seeing cases spike here just like everywhere else. So we'll see what happens, but we feel very confident that we have the tools and assets in place to pivot and go in either direction, right? So we're somewhat flexible because of what we have in place. I think that's where every gym needs to be right now. I'm very grateful that we are in a small studio model and we can pivot quickly like a speedboat. We're not a giant battleship with 10,000 members that doesn't really, can't go full digital.
For sure.
But yeah, that's where I think it's at. I think right now you need to do a little bit of both. Maybe lean into virtual harder if you need to, but I think right now you can slide back and forth. You need to be able to service both, and I think that's going to be the way it's going to be for the foreseeable future.
Cool. Awesome.
All right, buddy. Thanks.
Thank you so much for listening. We hope you enjoyed this episode of the Alloy Personal Training Business Podcast. If you have any questions for the host or are interested in learning more about running a successful personal training business of your own, please reach out and say hello. Connect with us at www.alloypersonaltraining.com and sign up for our free newsletter to receive additional resources.